Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also at 96.5 TIC. We're going to be talking about some sweet goodness this morning. Maple syrup, it is something that is very popular this time of year here in Connecticut. And our guest is the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. His name is Matt Wilkinson. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on to talk about maple syrup. Where do we even begin? I know that the weather has been a little bit warmer than normal than we would have seen maybe last year or even the years before that at wintertime. So how is the maple product actually looking this time of year?
So, it has definitely been warmer. A lot of the producers have started tapped earlier this year than what they've done in the past. However, the syrup's been really good. It's actually been fairly light and good flavor so far. It was a little rocky, and everyone was very nervous with the really, really warm temperatures we had early in February and really a lack of a winter to speak of this year. So it was pretty nervous. However, the next month or so of temperatures looks really good. We have a real good cold snap here next weekend, and I think we're going to have a good season this year.
Is it helpful to have warmer temperatures during the day and the cold temperatures at night?
It is, yes. What we want for like our ideal weather is we want it to get down about 20 degrees at night, get a good freeze, and then we want it to warm up into the mid-40s or so during the day, have a nice sun out there, get the sap flowing in the tree. So you need that freeze-thaw cycle, and that's what pushes the sap up and down the tree, which then comes out our spouts and taps into our buckets and our tubing.
When does the process begin to start making the maple syrup, especially for smaller producers here in Connecticut? Are they tapping trees really early on in the winter or maybe late fall, or is that something that begins at the beginning of February? What's the timeline like?
So a few years ago, I would tell you, you want to tap about Valentine's Day and you'll be done the end of March. However, it's been kind of a little unpredictable the last few years, but generally speaking, it's the beginning to mid-February. This year, people were tapping into late January, which is a little unusual for us, even in Connecticut. But more traditionally, it's that somewhere between that first weekend in February, maybe Valentine's Day timeframe. And then it runs through, generally speaking, probably about the last week in March in the state. This year, it might stop a little earlier just because it was, we started the season a lot earlier and kind of see how Mother Nature treats us.
What does the process look like for somebody who may not be familiar? And yes, there are demonstrations in some parts of the state when you go to some of the maple events. But for somebody who may not have seen it, maybe they don't know. So it begins, obviously, you have to tap a maple tree. But could you talk about how the refinery works, how you make it into syrup, how all of that process unfolds?
So you start out by you drill a small hole in the tree, which does not hurt the tree. There are maple trees that have been tapped for generations, especially up farther north. So it's not a problem. But you drill a small hole, you insert a tap, which is a little round cylinder, basically, and allows the sap to flow out of the tree. And either goes into buckets a lot of people see pictures of or have driven by and seen the metal or the blue buckets hanging on the sides of trees. That's kind of the traditional collection method. The other option is it goes into tubing. So you'll see green and blue tubing running through the woods in areas where maple production is high. And that's how we collect our sap and bring it to one collection point. So once we have the sap collected, a couple different options. Some people just start boiling it, and we use an evaporator is what it's called, and where we put the raw sap in and run a hot fire underneath it and boil away until it turns into syrup. And it takes about 40 to 50 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. It depends a little bit on the tree, the time of the year, the sugar content in the sap. And then some larger producers will use a reverse osmosis machine, which what it does is it doesn't change the flavoring of the syrup or anything, but it just removes some of the water. So it makes the boiling process more efficient so you can boil more sap in a shorter period of time.
Is this whole process costly? I know that there are large operators, there are also smaller operators, but is this something that the average Joe could get into?
Yeah, it is. On a small scale, you know, doing a few trees in your backyard, we started with 15 buckets and boiled our sap on a campfire, basically, when our kids were young. And it's very inexpensive to get started. It's a fun family thing to do in the middle of the winter. You don't have to run all 6-7 weeks of the season. You can do it for a couple weeks just to make a little bit of syrup for yourself and have a good time with it. And then as you grow and get up into more of the commercial scale, we're not large by any means, but we run 700 taps, and the equipment does get fairly expensive because it's all stainless steel, food grade equipment. You have to have a building to operate it in, and electricity and water and septic lines coming into it. So it does get pricey after a while.
How much sap is actually needed to make a gallon of syrup? It's actually a lot of sap, right?
It is. So generally speaking, if sap, average sap coming out of a tree has 2% sugar in it. And it takes, at that 2% sugar, it takes 43 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. However, when it's warmer, like it has been in Connecticut this year, the sugar content tends to drop in the sap, and it definitely drops as the season goes on. And you can get down to 1.2, 1.3, 1.5% sugar in the sap. And then you're talking 50, 60, 70 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup. So it does take quite a bit. So if you're looking to make a gallon of syrup for your family, you have, you know, 50 or so gallons of sap that you'd need to collect.
Where can people go to buy maple syrup from Connecticut?
So we have a website for the association, and it's called ctmaple.org. And on that website, on the left side, there are two links that you can click on. And one is the Connecticut Sugar Houses map, and that shows you throughout the state where all the sugar houses that are open and for visiting or sell syrup from their farms is listed. And then there's also where to buy Connecticut maple products, and it's listed by town. So if you want to just scroll through and look for your town, you can find it. Another great way is the farmers market season is probably one of the best ways, because I believe just about every farmers market in the state has a syrup vendor there or a farm that also does maple syrup, and they sell some of their syrup at it. So there's a couple great ways to either go visit the farms or shop your local farmers market.
This time of year, going back pretty much as long as I can remember in Connecticut, maybe 20, 25 years now, I am realizing that this has been a big deal every late winter, every early spring in Connecticut. But when did the excitement over maple begin? Has this been going on now for longer than that? Or all of these events and showcases and maple sales, when did that gain momentum?
So I think as far as like an agritourism side, it probably picked up, like you said, about 20 years ago or so in the state. Oddly enough, though, back in the 17 and early 1800s, there was actually quite a bit of syrup, maple sugar produced in the state of Connecticut. And it was used for the tobacco industry as well as basically in place of cane sugar or refined white sugars. So it was a pretty large agricultural industry in the state. A lot of the farmers this time of year, they're not planting yet. They weren't, they hadn't started with the calving or lambing or pigs season yet. And so it was an activity that the farms could do to kind of give another enterprise for them, as well as another stream of income by selling that sugar. So it's been in Connecticut history, you know, way back to the indigenous tribes even, but it's definitely been a part of Connecticut for many, many years.
And when we think about sales, how much actually sells? Like, is there a number? Do you have the amount that is sold, the dollar amount that's sold every year in Connecticut?
So I have an older number, and that's because the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Connecticut's a smaller producer, and so they don't keep our records anymore. But we're probably in the neighborhood of about a $2 million industry in the state. It's a little bit harder to track than, say, Vermont or up in Canada, where it's a large a commodity for them. We have a lot of smaller producers, so it's a little hard to gather all that information. But we're right around $2 million. We have around 200 producers in the state that are selling it. you know, small scale, maybe just the friends and neighbors or, you know, a little roadside stand up to some of our larger producers in the state that are selling it in local stores and markets and online sales.
How does Connecticut compare to Vermont and Canada? You just mentioned, obviously, they do it on a larger scale, but, you know, people, maybe they don't want Vermont. Maybe they want Connecticut tastes instead. So how does it compare? Is it even the flavor that's different?
They're actually, yeah, even from every sugar house to the next sugar house that maybe is only 10 miles down the road, the syrup will taste different. And that's a result of the minerals and the soils and the trees and a little bit with the weather and even just each individual producer, kind of maybe how they do things. So there is definitely a difference. I'm probably a little biased, but I will say that Connecticut actually makes probably some of the best syrup that I have had. What happens in Connecticut is we have different soil types for one, and there's also a lot of red maples that are tapped in Connecticut and mixed in with the sugars and that you more traditionally think about. And that actually adds a little bit more of a flavor palette or a spectrum of flavors into the syrup. As you go farther north, they tap almost exclusively sugar maples, and it makes great syrup. It's very sweet, but I just think that the red maples have a little bit more flavor, a more robust flavor to it, and more of a variety of flavors. So I think, you know, and there's been some taste tests done by University of Vermont Proctor that has actually proven that some of those red maple mixed in actually does help and accentuate the flavors. So I think Connecticut's got probably some of the best syrup out there. And, you know, we just don't have the big name that Vermont has or Canada has because it's not as quite as large operations around here.
Thinking about the taste of syrup, can you talk about the different grades of maple syrup?
Sure, yep. So there are traditionally four grades that are used. One is the golden delicate, which is the lightest color, and then there's amber rich and dark robust, and those are the three, and sorry, and then a very dark. So those are the three, four different varieties or flavorings that you'll see in the state. One, you might have heard of a grade B before, or a fancy, or a delicate, and those were the older grading standards that were used, but now it's the light, the amber, the dark robust, and the very dark. Those are the four colorings. As you go down that scale, they all have the same amount of sweetness, but the darker syrups will have more of what you would think of as sort of the traditional maple flavor.
If we talk about production again, speaking this morning on Face Connecticut with the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut, his name is Matthew Wilkinson. Matt, could you talk about inflation and how that has affected the production of maybe last year's, but certainly this year's maple syrup crop and product?
Sure. Yeah. So jugs and containers have and stainless steel have gone up significantly over the last probably 2 years. And so that is, it's made it more expensive for the producers to make the syrup. Also, we're wood fired. A lot of the producers in the state are wood fired, but there are several that use fuel oil to fire their evaporators. And obviously, as you all being at the gas station, you know how much diesel and gas has increased in cost. So the cost per gallon to make the syrup has gone up quite a bit. I think a lot of the producers in the state are trying very hard to not raise the price too much because, you know, we don't want to price it out of reach for people to get it. It's, you know, we want to keep it as affordable as we possibly can, but the profit margin in there has gotten significantly smaller. And so, you know, syrup has gone up a little bit, but I'm not sure you'll see another jump this year. The prices have kind of stabilized in the supplies, so hopefully we'll be able to maintain our pricing and to bring it to you. It is a lot of hours of work and a lot of expensive equipment invested in it. And supplies. So we try to make it as cheap as we can for it. But we unfortunately, like everybody else, we have to kind of keep up with the price of supplies out there.
All of the bottles that go into it, not to mention the equipment, which you've mentioned that you have to use to produce the maple syrup. Does that all come from companies in Connecticut or New England, like the maple syrup bottles and the little maple leaf labels, or are they made somewhere else, or do they tend to be made elsewhere?
There are, I think as far as made, most of the jugs are not made in the state, and the glass also is brought in from some other states. Connecticut does not have an equipment producer. Most of the producers are up in Vermont or in Canada. So there are, the equipment is brought in from out of state, and there are a couple glass companies in the state that provide glass bottles that some of the producers use, but the majority of them is, there's a producer in Canada and a producer in Massachusetts where that supplies most of the plastic jugs.
And when the season runs out and people want to go and buy maple syrup, is there a way to do so? Because obviously it can only be made in a pretty short window of time, but people are eating their pancakes in August too.
Oh, sure. Yep. So obviously during the season, you can go to the sugar houses and pick it up. But again, that season only runs from February to March. So it is short. Past that, there's some of the local grocery stores do stock local syrup. There's also farmers markets that you can pick it up. And then on our website, the listing of all the sugar houses that are either open during the season or have farm stands that you can purchase from. We have it both on a map as well as listing by town where you can pick it up. So there are several outlets out there to pick up Connecticut syrup.
Are there preservatives in maple syrup, or when you buy a jug of maple syrup, if that's not possible to have preservatives in them, are you able to keep that jar for a few months until you've run out of it? How does that work, the preservation?
So there's nothing in maple syrup besides boiled down sap and sugars, any natural minerals, things in there. So sugar is actually a preservative in itself. And so we boil the syrup and bring it to 67 Brix, which is 67% sugar. It's the density of sugar in the syrup, and that is naturally stable. And we hot pack it at 180 to 190 degrees in the containers, and then they are sealed. The containers can last, you know, 2 years or so. I've heard of syrup that is, you know, 10, 20 years old that was still good, but we try to, you know, shelf life with 1 to 2 years. Once you open that bottle, you want to put it back into the refrigerator because it can grow mold if it's sitting out on its counter or out warm. But as long as the container is still sealed, you know, you can go a couple years, a year with it. So if you buy a large jug and as soon as you open it up, just stick it in the fridge and use it as you go.
I was chuckling when you said 20 years. Wow, that's a long time.
There was I'd read an article a couple years ago. Someone found a can of maple syrup in their sugar house. It was from a grandfather or something, and they opened it up and tasted it, and it was still good. I would not recommend that, but sugar is a good preservative.
Wow. So obviously you're very ingrained in this, being the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. My guest on Face Connecticut this morning, Matt Wilkinson. Matt, when you're in maple season and you're hearing from different producers, I imagine you're visiting different producers, are you?
I try to. It's tough because I'm, you know, up to my eyeballs in sap and boiling myself. More texting and messaging and phone calls with the producers around the state, emails is probably our during the season itself. But we do have, the association has a 2 annual meetings, one in November and one in early January. And so we do all get together and talk about the last season and what's coming up for the next season. So. But we do, it's a smaller community, about the 200 some producers, so we all kind of keep in touch with each other.
So when you guys met to talk about the season last year and what you're going to do this year, is there ever a reflection on, okay, well, we could do that differently? Because it seems like you guys have this down to a science, but what do you guys discuss so you guys stay competitive for the next year?
So the association brings in speakers from around the industry and some from the research universities. And believe it or not, the principle has not changed. We're boiling sap down. How we do it and how we increase the quality of our syrup and how we increase our productions, that's always changing. New equipment, new ideas, new research leads us to different things. So this year we actually had one of the Mark Esselhart from University of Vermont Proctor came down and talked about, quality control and quality of maple syrup in the sugar house, and some of the research they've done with some of the causes of off-flavored syrups and how to avoid them. We're all very passionate about syrup and making the best possible syrup we can. So that's the types of stuff that goes on. And everyone shares little techniques and tricks and tips that they have from their own experience, how they've what they've figured out and pass on. So it's a constant education with us, as well as, you know, just a lot of getting together with a lot of good people and talking about our favorite topic.
How are consumers learning about maple syrup producers, especially the smaller ones, right? Yes, there are the events, but I'm specifically talking about the use of social media instead of newspapers. You know, how are they getting word out about what they have to offer?
So there's a couple great resources out there, and one is a Facebook group called CT Maple Tappers. It's got about 1,500 members in it. They're not all from Connecticut. Some are regional also. There's a lot of good questions on there, and a lot of backyard, small, you know, 10 taps, 15 taps. And it's a great place to ask questions, because a lot of the officers and directors from the association, as well as a lot of the larger producers in the state, are also in that Facebook group. And they're continually giving advice, you know, what happened to my syrup? It looks like this, or this happened. How do I fix that? And because we really are very passionate about it, we love answering those questions and helping people out that are getting started in making maple syrup. So that's one of probably the best places. And there's also another group called Backyard Maple Syrup. And they're, again, it's a lot of smaller scale producers. You see a lot of ingenious ideas. And also a lot of the more experienced producers on there, when we see something that is not good or something, but it's going to make a mistake, we all jump in and kind of give them a hand on that.
Just kind of a last thought here and a last question with Matthew Wilkinson, the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. Could you talk about what the association is all about and just tell us a little more about MSPAC?
Sure. So the Maple Syrup Producers Association is a group of producers. Our mission is to help producers make the best quality maple syrup. We are an education group. We're not we do some minor promotion, but we're not a trade group as much as we are an education association. So we have our website, ctmaple.org, that you can get on and see more about us and find out where our meetings are. And we're really, our whole purpose is to increase the quality of maple syrup made in Connecticut, as well as, you know, increase the number of producers and just make sure that we're maintaining great syrup made here in Connecticut and getting it out to the public.
And how did you get involved in this whole world of maple syrup, let alone become the president of the association?
So got involved by when our girls were very young, and we thought, like, this will just be a really fun thing to do with our kids. And so we looked it up on found a book called Backyard Sugarin', and made some maple, our own little maple syrup. And I just really enjoyed it, got addicted to it, and they call it a sickness, kind of, and just kind of kept growing. And I found out about the association, joined, and stayed active in it, and kind of eventually just became the president. So it was it really just started with a couple taps in our backyard.
Wow, that's amazing. Matt Wilkinson, thank you so much for coming on Face Connecticut this morning to talk about maple season. Definitely a very tasty time of year, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I agree. It's the best.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.